Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it is the first Monday of 2026, Hollow Cult. Welcome to the new year. Out with the old, in with the new. Speaking of new, if you're new here, welcome. Welcome in. Welcome to the show. Me and Kyle like to talk about some stuff to kick the show off. If you're waiting to get into the crux of the show, you can fast forward 5 or 6 minutes, find it there. If not, you can hang out and listen to us do all of our housekeeping show stuff. That's what we do. If you're not new here, welcome back to another year with the Hollow Sky Podcast. We appreciate you all. Thanks for being here. Check us out at all our social medias. I'm not going to name them off. You know where they're at. Just search us up. Join the community. Join the cult. It's a good thing. It's fun. It's all sorts of good times. If you have a paranormal experience, like the ones we're going to feature today, we're going to kick the new year off the way we left the last new year, right where we should be with your guys' experience, the Hollow Cult's experiences. So if you have one, Kyle's got some information you're going to want.
I do. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. It's in the show notes. You send your story out, write in as much detail as you can, obviously. And then, you know, and then it'll get put into the catacombs where it may or may not get dug out in timely fashion. It is a patented filing system that we are now going to refer to as the catacombs.
I mean, time is subjective.
It really is. But I mean, this episode will be proof that we will get to it eventually.
Yeah, you have to have faith in us. If it takes us 5 years to get to it, that's on you guys.
I mean, not really, but
it's on me. But also,
hey man, the catacombs are known for being disorienting, and you can get lost down there.
Yeah, time is soup.
Yeah,
time is soup. If you'd like to support the podcast, the Hollow Sky Podcast here, plenty of ways you can do it. You can also leave us a voice note. You can call in. Leave us a record on your phone. Leave us a little voice note of your experience.
That is possible as well.
That way you don't have to listen to me talk.
We do have a thing on the website too, the homepage where you can write it out and hit submit on there as well.
Hell yeah.
Whichever way you really do it, it's all about your convenience at this point.
But if you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. We got a Patreon, getting ready to revamp that, but stuff over there, you get all of our normal episodes early. You get them ad free. You also get Patreon exclusive episodes over there. You get some AI metal band jams over there. Merch coupons sometimes. Merch like the first contact for new merch drops and stuff. Speaking of merch at the podcast, hollowskypodcast.com. Go over there, check out the store. We got t-shirts, hats, beanies. We did have. They're probably sold out now. And stickers and stuff. You can just go check that out.
The hats are officially sold out.
Yeah, we don't have hats. Never mind.
They are gone. Another thing real quick. I didn't realize this until the other day, but it's been a long-running F up on my part. I didn't realize that on Patreon, for you Patreon members, that there was just now a special button that I had to click to make it to where it popped up into your RSS feeds on your podcast player. So if it hasn't been there recently, that is why. They are posted on the Patreon website. However, like I said, it used to be you just posted it and then it slapped it in the RSS feeds where you can listen to it. It'll pop up on your, you know, your Apple player or Spotify or whatever it is. And then they must have changed it. I don't know if it was recent or not, but they changed it to where now you have to click it to make you do that. So
heck yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize that till the other day. That is my bad.
We figured it out now. So
yeah, I will be sure to be on top of that. And like Steve said, there are some new things coming to Patreon. One of them, of course, it has its own special name. I'm working on the graphic for it, so on and so forth. Won't be coming until warmer weather. So there's that.
So get hyped.
Yeah.
Other things you can do to support the show, share the show word of mouth. It's always the most helpful thing. That's our goal for 2026, is grow the Hollow Cult, grow our audience, keep putting us out there, keep on keeping on, just keep growing, keep spreading the virus that is the Hollow Sky Podcast.
That way we can flex on these bitches.
Flex on them hoes.
It's our job.
Yeah.
And kind of your job as well.
To also flex.
Yeah. So, you know.
You can go to YouTube, subscribe, hit the notification bell, hit the hype button, all that YouTube jargon. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And I will gladly shout you out whenever I find it. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from Apple Podcasts and our friend Ava's GMA in Michigan. Ava's GMA says, re-reviewing 5 stars. I wrote a review on these guys a few years ago. I'm re-reviewing to say I'm still listening and still loving their show. The dynamic between Kyle and Steve is awesome. They're funny, yet not so goofy to take away from the content they're presenting. I enjoy the multi-episode shows the most, but I listen to all of them. If you aren't following Hollow Sky, you should be.
Thank you.
Listen to Ava's GMA.
Yeah.
Okay? She knows what she's talking about. That's just what it is.
It's facts.
It is facts. And we appreciate you.
Very much.
For leaving us 2 cool reviews.
Yeah. That's solid of you. Much love and respect.
Yeah. Yeah. So just be like Ava's GMA. All right? Be cool.
Buff this world out together.
Yeah. Another way you can support us is supporting our lovely sponsors, which you will hear from probably like right now. Hey, Hollow Cult. Did you know there's a difference between your chronological age and your biological age? Your chronological age is your birthday, and your biological age is how old your body really is. Biological age is the strongest predictor of disease risk and mortality. True Diagnostic gives you your biological age, health markers, plus a simple personalized 90-day plan after analyzing over 1 million data points. True Diagnostic offers a true age test, which is a test of longevity and aging. It measures biological age versus chronological age and your current pace of aging. It includes symphony age, tracking the health of 11 organ systems, your brain, heart, lungs, immune system, etc. Gives you your top 3 aging actions you can take to slow or reverse aging. 86% of True Age users who follow the plan reduce their biological age. You can order online, and the kit ships right to your front door. Quick, simple finger prick at home, and then drop it in the prepaid return package. Your only job, follow the 3 recommendations for 90 days, then retest to see your progress. True Diagnostic uses advanced epigenetic testing to analyze over 1 million biomarkers, identifies the 3 most important actions you can take over 90 days to improve your health. Trusted by top longevity clinics and health professionals, not just consumers at home. Right now, Hollow Sky listeners can get 20% off at truediagnostic.com using code HOLLOWSKY at checkout. That's truediagnostic.com and use code HOLLOWSKY for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or subscription. Hey, Hollow Cult. Did you know that there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO1. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. They have Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. They also have Morning Delta 9 gummies for an energizing, focused mental boost to start your day. Mind Magic gummies for focused, deep work and enhanced creativity. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a large selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium federally legal THC
with targeted botanicals to help you get in the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered directly to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO1. So head to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code HOLO1 when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Be sure to try it today at mood.com. All right. Hollow Cult, just like that, we are back for 2026, kicking off the new year where we left off the old one, and that's with your listener submission stories. I will tell you, a lot of these aren't recent.
That's okay.
On me.
Like I said, catacomb system, it is what it is. Also, a little foreshadowing, I'm going to go ahead and dump this out there, that way if anyone is discouraged by our lack of effort, it's not our fault. Holidays been busy. Anyways, should be the next episode. I'll have hopefully a multi-parter on our friend. Well, not so much friend.
Ooh.
Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Shouldn't say friend. Not our friend.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. So Steve is probably going to be stoked because that's right up his alley.
I am a true crime girly.
Love it. So we're going to be covering that in regard, like, not to his crime, but also the connection with the CIA and MK Ultra. So that's the angle we're playing.
The Beatles.
He was a big Beatles guy.
I think the Beatles made him. The Beatles are to blame.
Did you know he hung out with, I shouldn't even be saying this right now, but did you know that he hung out with one of the guys from Beach Boys?
Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking of, the Beach Boys.
Yeah, he totally hung out with them, recorded music with him. The guy actually jacked one of Manson's songs.
Oh, I did hear that.
Yeah.
I'm still blaming the Beatles because they suck.
Yeah.
We just lost every listener.
And it was kind of funny, too, real quick, that they were like, hey, why didn't you credit Manson for this song? And he's like, well, he gave up all distribution rights for about $100,000 worth of stuff.
What kind of stuff?
Probably LSD and meth.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's my guess, because they just said stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going, but I didn't know if it was like code word for you actually knew.
Pretty sure it was.
All right, yes.
Yeah, so narcotics.
Yeah. You got that to look forward to for the next, either next week or sometime in there. We're getting close. But yeah, like I said, if these seem chronologically incorrect, it's because they are.
Yeah, it's okay.
So we're going to start off with this one, and I had to look it up because they referenced Project Centerlane, and I'm like, when did we do an episode on Project Centerlane? 2021. So this one's almost 6 years in the making. Getting it out here. I apologize. Here we go. So this is from our friend Luke. Don't even know if you're still listening to the show. Hopefully you do. If you are, hell yeah.
Be sick if you are.
Yeah. This is, he's titled it Dreams of Future Destruction. Luke says, hi guys, listen to the recent podcast Project Centerlane from April of 2021 and had a dream that I thought I'd share in regards to the part where you talk about apocalyptic dreams people are sending to you guys. This was 10 years ago, but still vivid in my mind. In the dream, I was close to downtown LA. I could see a volcano erupting and spewing out lava some miles away. Palm trees nearby and in the distance were all on fire. I remember looking down into a water overflow canal near me, and it was filled up with swiftly flowing lava. I was part of a search and rescue team of some sort. I knew right away in my dream
we were going from building to building searching for people, and I remember seeing charred bodies all over. Most were stuck halfway in mostly hardened lava in one way or another. Some were still on fire closer to the lava flow. I knew in my dream that this was something happening in the future, and I recall feeling very overwhelmed, as if the situation happened suddenly and without warning, and had quickly taken over the city. Our team wasn't coordinated at all. I was off by myself and unsure what really to do. I got close to a part of the lava flow that was coming through the building I was in, and I remember feeling the intense heat and backing away. Here's the wild card. I also remember looking down into an area near the water canal with lava that had less flow and had dark hardened areas where one could walk on. And all over that area, there were these giant scarab beetle-looking things flying and jumping from cold lava spot to cold lava spot. They were roughly the size of a push lawnmower or so and fairly menacing. Definitely got the vibe that they were not good and were somehow a part of the craziness that was happening. Not sure how, but it's just something that I understood in the dream. That's about it. I woke up after that. Not a long dream, but it felt very intense and very real to me. One of those that affects you several hours after waking up. I had vivid lucid dreams since I was as young as 3. I remember all of them. And this one's just another proverbial shit brick on the pile of crazy dreams that I've had. Keep up the good work and stay excellent, Luke. I do remember the time period that he's talking about here, in like right in the middle of the lockdowns. Well, kind of like coming out of the lockdowns a little bit toward 2021. But a lot of people were emailing us with these kind of apocalyptic end of the world scenarios that they've been dreaming about. That was like a big deal at the time. I know he said his was 10 years earlier than that, but still, I'm sure it kind of refreshed it in his brain. I don't know what it was about that time. If it were the fact that we were all like locked indoors for such a long time and like not getting to interact with anyone, or if the like at the beginning of the pandemic, everything was very apocalyptic, you know, like you didn't know how bad it was. You didn't know what was going to happen.
I think that has a lot to do with it right there.
Yeah. I think it kind of ingrained you in this bleak area of like doom and gloom.
It was heavy doom and gloom, especially in the beginning several months of that whole situation. And I think it scared a lot of people, confused a lot of people, brought a lot of dread on into the everyday house.
Yeah.
You know, because the future felt bleak. It really did.
Yeah.
You know, and I think anybody that would argue that is foolish, because in the beginning it was different.
Yeah. You didn't know what was going on.
No. And, you know, and not to mention, you know, those apocalyptic dreams have been heavily associated with alien abduction as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
you know, for whatever reason, I don't know why. I don't know why that seems to be a running theme for these abduction scenarios, but it is.
And if you remember right, the amount of UFO sightings went through the roof.
Yeah.
That year, 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
I guess people were more in tune with like being, I know we call it the lockdown, but a lot of people went outside and started going to the park and, you know, just being away from big crowds. And I guess they had their eyes on the sky and started seeing some stuff. And then not long after that, the government was shooting down UFOs over Canada and shit. So
I remember that.
It's weird. Nobody talks about it anymore, which I think is crazy.
Oh, yeah. News cycle moves fast as shit.
Yeah. And I'll end that one with, is anybody still having apocalyptic dreams? Anybody still having the weird end of the world, bleak, like military scenarios and like natural disasters? Because they kind of fell off. It was just kind of came in a wave and left in a wave.
Yeah. Which is strange.
Yeah.
I know this doesn't really apply to him, but I also wonder too, if some of them dreams respond by exactly what we were saying, all the dread, all the chaos that we got in those first several months. And because of that, it shifted the collective consciousness into like a doomsday mentality almost.
Oh, I bet.
You know what I mean? Where more and more people, like it was just this contagion of doom.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to, it spilt over into everybody's consciousness and dreams and shit like that.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. Because there were a lot of them just boom, boom, boom.
Oh, there was.
And that was just from our listener base.
Yeah.
Hard telling how many people beyond that was having the same experience.
Exactly.
All right. I apologize again. I'm still sick. I've been sick for like 2 weeks. So trying to fight the snot as I'm talking here. Our next one. Oh, I want to finish that off with also thanking Luke for submitting his dream encounter there, even though it was 5 years ago. See, we get to him. Just give us time.
Technically, be like 15 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Just be patient with us. Okay. A little bit of patience goes a long way. Next, we have a listener experience from our friend Danny, who titles it Encounter with the Faceless.
Gross.
Yeah. Not the band, the Faceless. I don't think. I haven't read this yet. So Danny says, hey guys, been listening for a while and wanted to leave my encounter with the Faceless. My encounter takes place when I was 7 or 8 years old, around 1999 or 2000. My encounter is very simple in nature. I woke up one night from my bed and walked to the bedroom door and looked down the hallway. The entire hallway was dark, but at the end of it was a faceless entity just standing there. The only way I can describe it is that it was a reverse silhouette. The entire hallway was dark, and the entity had a dull white glow to it that I could tell was there against the darkness of the hallway. It just stood there, staring down the hallway, and it looked like a faceless figure of a tall man. Where it stood was at the top of a staircase. My bedroom and parents' bedroom were upstairs. It didn't move, and it didn't make a sound. Even though my parents' bedroom door was directly across the hall from my door, instead of yelling to them or banging on the door to wake them, I instead went back into my room and got into bed and covered my head with the covers to hide, and I eventually fell asleep. I never told my parents about it, and at the time of the encounter, I told no one for almost my entire life. The memory popped into my head when discussing paranormal stories with my parents recently, when my dad brought up a story from the same time period where he woke up out of sleep, looked out the window, and it looked like it was daylight outside despite being in the middle of the night. Instead of investigating, he said something had told him to go to sleep in his head, and so he did. A few weird extra facts about the house. It's the same house my dad grew up in, and he had an encounter as a child with a shadow person in the same house decades later. While living at the house, I was said to have been an active sleepwalker at the time period as my same time period as my encounter. Often found wandering from my upstairs bedroom and being found all the way downstairs in the dining room on more than one occasion. I also recall having frequent deja vu at this age as well, though I'm not sure if this is related or not to seeing the faceless entity. Love the show and stay weird, guys. Danny. Well, Danny, thanks for taking the time to submit your encounter. First thing I'm going to want to know is, I know you said it was the same time period your dad had the weird light, daylight outside when it was night. I wonder how close that corresponds with your actual encounter, because that makes it feel very alien abduction-y.
Exactly what I was going to say. It sounds like straight up alien abduction.
Yeah.
Especially the light, because your mom has a story like that.
The aunt.
And then that whole feeling of something told me to go back to sleep.
Yep. Isn't that creepy?
Dude, that's straight up alien abduction.
Yeah. Was it the haunting of the Andrews family where the light, like the it looked daylight outside when it was actually dark? It was one of those. Haunting of Andrews or Hell House was the same thing. It's weird. Feels real alien-y.
It is a curious question, though. One that I would like some insight on myself is if your sleepwalking spells had anything to do with the encounters you were having.
That would be weird, because that correlates sometimes with alien abduction as well.
Right. I've covered, there was a couple that I covered that I remember where almost like they woke up in like places they didn't. They're like, how the fuck did I get here in my, you know, in my house and everything like that?
Yeah. Interesting.
That's really gross.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd like to know some of the timeline a little closer. Cause if those were the same night, something weird going on there.
Yeah. And have you had any experiences since?
Yeah.
Like to this day.
Has the deja vu kept up? I never really equated or tried to like think about how deja vu would integrate into like the paranormal, like paranormal experiences. But it's so weird, and like everyone experiences it.
And you deja vu is bizarre.
And you never really dig into what deja vu is. You just write it like, oh, I just had deja vu. But like, we don't understand what that means in our brain, you know? The feeling that you've been there before, but the context of that and the consequences of that, I feel people don't really dig into.
No, and I'm sure on a professional level they have. We just don't, you know, we're obviously not there. It does make you feel like you're stuck in a loop when you have those things.
Yeah. Especially when you're at a place that you've never been before, like a whole new area. Like you're visiting a new state, and then it feels like, oh shit, been here before. I've seen this before. When you know that you haven't, it just makes your brain run in circles.
And it's weird too, because like deja vu works in this very peculiar way, at least for me, where it's like as it's happening almost, it's like unlocking the memory that you had prior. And it's almost like in your brain and on the tip of your tongue, where you could, if your brain would process just slightly faster, you could say what happens next, but it's just not right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like the processing speed is just not quite fast enough.
Those are the craziest. When you're like live feeling what was going on.
Yeah. Like it legitimately unlocked the memory and you're playing it as it happens. It's so weird.
Yes. Yes. I need to get some books on deja vu. I'm sure there's all kinds of like sciencey verbiage and wordage about brain synapses and
I'm sure
chemical reactions in the brain and all this shit. But I want to know if I'm in a time loop.
We probably are.
Yeah, but scientists are going to tell me no.
Especially under the, well, that's not necessarily true. Especially the more they lean toward the belief that the past, present, and future all happens at the exact same time. I mean, that could explain it.
Yeah. I tried to wrap my brain around that the other night.
Yeah. Good luck.
The only way I could equate it to was like time being a lasagna. And the layers of noodles are like the past, the present, and the future. And everything that's happening all at the same time. So you could, if you can find a way to go through the noodles, you could be in the past and the future at the same. You could have a portal, a cheese portal in your lasagna, your time lasagna, to travel to the past and to the future.
Well, that explains it then, Steve. We have now figured out why the fae steal all the forks.
To get through the time lasagna.
Or to stop us from getting through the time lasagna.
Mm. Which is why Garfield, the fat orange cat, loved lasagna.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was always trying to get away from Mondays.
That's right. We just figured it out.
Time travel. We here at the Hollow Sky Podcast, first episode 2026, solved time travel. You're welcome, nerds.
It's a pretty good notch on the belt there.
Yeah.
Especially first day of the year.
Yeah. Lasagna was the best metaphor, allegory. I don't know. It was the best thing I could come up with when trying to think about time being in layers as opposed to being linear.
Because lasagna's in layers. Science.
This science.
Oh, man. Next one. Also, from a ways back. Couple years. It's from our friend Colton. Colton says, UFOs over St. Louis. Good evening, gentlemen. I've been listening to the show for a little over 2 years now, and I'm fairly local to you guys. I currently live in Soulard. For those of you that don't know, Soulard is less than 10 minutes south from downtown St. Louis. I recently had an experience that I would like to share. About 3 weeks ago, I was at home sitting on my couch, watching TV. My apartment is a second and third floor unit that faces west. It was a fairly nice evening, and I had my curtains open as I was watching TV. It was past dusk, and it was nighttime. I'm sitting on my couch, and I happen to look out the window, and I see an orangish ball traveling at a steady speed to the north. It was close enough to my neighborhood for me to think that it was nearby. I didn't think much of it, and then I realized that it was kind of strange. I'm quite accustomed to the planes and helicopters that fly around here, and it wasn't the same position to the sky as the helicopters or airplanes normally are. And the color was different. Airplanes and helicopters don't have orange lights. I got up and looked out my window, and it was gone. Again, I didn't think much of it. There's an Air Force base nearby, as well as numerous airports, including one larger one. A few minutes later, I happened to be scrolling on my phone, and I noticed in one of the Facebook groups I'm a part of, dedicated to Soulard residents, that some people were in a nearby park and saw something very similar. They stated in their post that it was doing incredible acrobats in the air, and they were in awe. I can't help but feel that we saw the same craft. That night, I couldn't help but notice there was a ton of helicopter activity in the area following my sighting. Being close to downtown, I'm used to helicopters flying around a lot. I'm familiar with their noise, and that night, a helicopter must have flown by at least once every 10 minutes. Normally, it's about once an hour. Last night, September 26, 2023, speaking of time being soup, I was at home sitting on my couch watching TV. There was a really pretty storm coming in, so I thought I'd open my curtains just to watch. At about the same time as the first, I saw the same sphere just out of the corner of my eye. It was the same color, moving at the same speed, and I barely caught a glimpse. I tried to look for it, but I couldn't see it. A few minutes later, people in the Soulard Facebook group made another post saying that they saw the same thing. This time, it was much more weird, though. It could have been the storm, which wasn't that bad in my area, but the internet went out for a few minutes. For the rest of the evening, it was extremely spotty. What was really weird is there is a busy, very busy street close by, and something happened with the light poles on the street. There were videos of the light poles blinking rapidly, basically like a strobe, as if something happened with the electrical in that part of the neighborhood, which was on the opposite side of where I saw the craft. I didn't see this personally, but I did see the videos, and that was also one of the most beautiful storms I've ever seen, with a ton of lightning, so I can't help but wonder if the UFO and the lightning are related. I can't say for certain the light poles blinking and strobing like they were is a related event. It could have just been the storm. I've often wondered why we don't see more cell phone footage of crafts like that. When I saw the craft both times, at no point did it occur to me to take a photo of it. I'm reasonably certain that both times I had my phone in my hand, but like I said, trying to take a photo of it didn't even cross my mind. Also, I feel like it's worth mentioning that at no point did I feel scared or afraid. I'm honestly more curious than anything. I just want to know what I saw. Thank you so much for reading. Take care, stay safe, and stay weird. Colton. Well, Colton, first off, thanks for submitting your encounter. I think I remember seeing the footage of the lights blinking on and off on the street, if I can remember right.
There was a phenomena, I don't remember if it was last year, or maybe it might have been right around the time he sent that in, where lights were doing that all over the country.
It's weird.
Because I can remember ones down, like down in Florida and stuff like that. It was a very bizarre thing. I'm excited that you live so close to us. That's awesome. I think, I'm pretty sure, I don't remember exactly. I think my uncle might live over there in Soulard.
Yeah, that's...
But the encounter itself is freaking awesome because you have cooperation with other residents in the area.
Multiple times.
Yeah, that's awesome.
with the same, essentially what is probably the same craft.
And Steve, don't you have like one of your relatives took a super gnarly photo of a storm coming in and there's UFOs in the clouds?
Oh yeah. My cousin Doug did. It has made its rounds for years now on the UFO boards. I posted it in the Discord, I'm pretty sure. But I'm pretty sure he's submitted it to MUFON and I don't know if he sent it to Art Bell or not. But yeah, it's just right out off of Fairgrounds out there, taking a picture of the storm coming in. There was a two-story house out there, and you can see the metallic orbs in the skyline of the storm.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So it's kind of a known thing. They do sometimes they'll appear with storms coming in, which is interesting. I wonder if it has to do with all the generated power.
I was thinking the same thing. Kind of like almost like a cloak, the storm being a cloak to kind of hide them.
Or they're just, you know, even if they're here, let's say exploring and in curiosity, maybe they are able to register the upcoming power surge that's happening and they're curious about it.
I'm also, my brain started rolling whenever he was talking about the lights flickering. It almost makes me wonder if like there was some sort of code in the lights, like
code,
which would be terrifying.
Absolutely. That would be terrifying.
The orange ball of light reminds me of what you saw.
Yeah.
In one of your encounters is what it makes me think of. Anytime somebody talks about seeing a UFO and they talk about it being an orange ball or an orange orb, I'm like, so it's so crazy.
Yeah, me and my wife saw it together.
But in the vein of what he's talking about, where he said he had his phone and he never even thought about taking a picture, that was the same way I was when I saw whatever that was in Georgia, when I saw the green orb of light on the mountaintop. Didn't even cross my mind. I didn't even think. I was just, and it's not even like not thinking about it. You're just so engrossed. You're so locked in on what you're seeing. Like, what? In my brain, I was trying to rationalize it. Like, is it an airplane? Nope. Is it a helicopter? Nope. Is it a drone? Nope. Is it some guy with a spotlight? Nope. And like, the last thing I'm thinking about is like trying to film it or trying to get it on photograph. So I get it. It's very much a real thing. And
I think that happens far more than not.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if
everybody crucifies people for not, you know, taking photos and stuff. But, you know, to your question, I don't know if it would be intentional or not. That's a hard one because it's naturally captivating to see things that aren't normal.
Yeah.
And like I remember, you know, we were talking about it and you were so captivated, but at the same time, I remember you saying like, I was scared to take my eyes off of it in fear that it would go away.
Yeah. 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 Cause I don't know. It was just, you know, they call like the phenomena of people just going back to bed. They call it like alien apathy. Like it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it, you know? But I'm wondering if that also kind of has the same effect on us not trying to grab evidence. You know, if it's almost like a reverse effect, like you're so in awe that you don't even think to try to get some sort of evidence.
I could see that.
Especially.
That does make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird. Okay, let's see. Keep going here. I got a bunch of them pulled up. What else we got? Colton UFO, Danny and the Faceless. Ooh, here's one. Shorty. This one is from our friend Miranda. Miranda titled this Shadow Person Death Eater.
Gross.
Hmm.
Cool title, though. Ooh.
See what's going on here. Miranda says, "Hi there, Hollow Sky dudes. My name is Miranda,
and I live in a super small town in the Pacific Northwest on the coast of Washington State. I'm a 32-year-old mother who dabbles in the occult. One of my lifelong secrets I have that very few people who are extremely close to me know about is since I was 12 years old, I've seen the same shadow person or thing, tall, almost 7 foot, black figure with long, slender fingers. I always thought that I was imagining things until my best friend's husband shared his experience with me. The shadow figure has stayed around my whole life, popping up and showing me extremely bad situations. One time, while driving behind my parents at night, it popped out of the corner of my eye in a field. It showed me itself flicking a rock and causing my parents' car to flip over. The last time I really had an interaction with it, my dogs broke out of their dog run and attacked and killed my goats. Most time I can will myself to ignore it, but sometimes it's very demanding and almost always a harbinger of something bad and dark. I'm wondering if any of our other listeners have experienced something similar. Its appearance reminds me of a Death Eater from Harry Potter, but obviously different as it floats and bends with the shadows. Thank you. I've been listening for only a few months now, but you all have quickly became one of my favorites to listen to while working or just chilling at home. Always ready and interested in the topics you discuss. Also, it would be interesting to see if you guys had any insight on the wacky situation because I am at a loss. My 11-year-old son says he wakes up every morning around 3 a.m., to which he looks over at his sister, who is 10, her bed, and there is a white fog-like figure floating above her. Okay, that's Miranda.
Wild.
First thing, thank you for submitting your story. I don't actually know how long ago this was submitted, but hope you're still listening. Hope you're still here. The harbinger of death, or not death, but harbinger of doom, bad scenarios, that's terrifying.
Sounds pretty familiar to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like what you saw.
Yeah, I didn't see his fingers, but I did see the tall shadow person thing when we had all that stuff going on. So
as soon as she said that, that's instantly what I thought of.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting to me that it has been a commonality in your life. I'm curious. You said it started at the age of 12. Were you already interested in the occult at age 12? Or did seeing this entity kind of guide you in that direction? I'm curious as to like which came first, you know, the chicken or the egg.
That's a good question, and I hope we get the answer to that, because so we've heard things like if you are a do-gooder and you're gonna create problems for, say, Lucifer or these demonic forces. And these demonic forces will try to interject themselves into your life early on to knock you off your path. I never thought about the opposite, where, say, you have the potential to, say, better their plan or aid them in some way, even if it's accidental, and they interject themselves into your life earlier, say in this case, around 12 years old, which then prompts you to become interested in activating the occult.
Yep. It could be that with the entire phenomena.
I know. I never thought about that until just now.
Yeah. You see a UFO and you immediately get interested in UFOs and you dedicate more time and energy into looking into UFOs and.
Which it is appropriate timing, because I just, you know, finished watching Stranger Things and stuff. And there's a scene in there where, spoiler alert.
Tune out if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, he grabs this rock and it infects him with particles. And it's the same, fucking thing. You have this ethereal being on a different planet. And it like all it said to him was find me. And it gave him abilities and so on and so forth, which is kind of what spirals the whole story out of control. But it's like a calling, you know, that thing was calling and gave him the ability to do all these things. It's fucking weird.
Makes you wonder.
It's fucking weird, man. And it's like so ironic that literally last night, after we did the night shift, I finished watching that show, and that was on there. And now, you know, today, the next day, you pull this one out of the deck.
It's weird that it does that. You know, I think some of these get shuffled in at the appropriate times that we're supposed to follow.
I absolutely agree.
I'm wondering, like, if this thing is trying to warn you of the bad scenarios, or if it is causing the bad scenarios.
Kind of the whole, like, Mothman debacle.
Exactly. Exactly. I also, thinking about, hey, Holocult, every day companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off of your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off of your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Me and Kyle both can attest to having our information stolen online. Kyle just had to deal with it not too long ago, and at the very least, it is the utmost inconvenience having to reset everything, reset your bank account. It's just such a pain. But Aura is more than just the data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep your login safe, a spam call protection to cut off scammers. Aura also scans the dark web for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, and passwords, and notifies you instantly if they are exposed. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days if you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The white fog over your daughter's bed, for some reason, I don't have any like proof that this is what it is, but it almost feels like a protection thing to me, where he's waking up and he looks over and he sees the white fog over her bed, especially if we're gonna assume that the Death Eater figure is a negative figure, that something is almost like looking over her, some sort of protection, some sort of like protection bubble is the first thing that I thought of.
That makes sense. And we do affiliate white with good, black with evil. So there's that. And the white fog mist is extremely common in the whole like ghost paranormal genre.
Yeah.
A very prominent apparition.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And for her sake and your sake, I hope that it is a layer of protection. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah. But Miranda, if you're still listening, definitely interested in hearing your takes on some of the questions we posted there.
I'm now perplexed because of this.
Yeah.
The idea that these things, because I haven't heard anybody mention, I'm sure people have. I personally haven't heard anybody approach it in that manner of how sometimes these things could interject themselves into your life for a purpose in the future.
Yep.
That to me is interesting as fuck.
Cause they always say like the more you stare into the darkness, the more the darkness stares back, but they're never like, if nobody ever says like, maybe the darkness is like, hey, look over here.
Yeah.
You know, take a gander.
Yeah. It's calling to you to look into it. Because in regards to the occult aspect of it, and I don't mean this like in the context of say you got drugged into the occult to be some evil fucking warlock that opens the gates of hell, but it would be possible that you got drugged into the occult to simply make an accident.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it knew that you would make that accident, or it knew that you would open yourself up to become a vessel or whatever, you know, just accidental stuff, not on purpose.
Very Saturnish.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, very Saturnish. That it's like, it makes you wonder which one of these things or how many of these things are pulling the strings way down the line. You know, because the dude in the Black Cube episode, the dude that contacted Saturn wasn't looking to contact Saturn, right? The ritual had nothing to do with Saturn. Who's to say Saturn didn't put him on the ritual to end up at the spot where they made the contact, you know,
right.
The failed ritual.
Or technically Saturn, all he would need is for you to do a ritual. Because he has the ability to interject himself.
Yeah.
You know, you could call for just a, you know, we'll just say Athena, and Saturn goes, no, it's me.
Yeah. Creepy.
And like you said, it still plays your idea there that all he needed was for you to do a ritual. That's all. That's all it took. And then it gives him the ability to interject himself and block the other gods, so to the other gods, demigods, and say, no, oh, I'm here, bud. Yeah. He got me. You knocked, I answered.
Which is horrifying.
It really is. I would hope that someone out there has far more insight in that, because that, my friend, would be a fascinating conversation with someone. Someone that has more insight on the fact that they would interject themselves to draw you into the occult or into the paranormal for reasons. Yeah. That would be fucking rad. Really awesome conversation.
I don't think a lot of people think about that.
No.
We didn't.
I feel like most people think that you're just sensitive.
Yeah.
That's like the general consensus in this realm is that, oh, you probably have some, you know, inner sight bullshit.
But it was actually the phenomena that started the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Shit.
Maybe the phenomena gave you the fucking sensitivity. It's weird and it's cool.
Yeah. We're starting 2026. Starting 2026 off with epiphanies. Here at the
Hollywood. I fuck with it. So if there's anybody out there that has large amounts of insight or knows someone that has large amounts of insight, maybe you should probably tell them to hook up with us, because
we got questions.
Now. We do have questions.
That we demand answers for phenomena.
I love it.
All right. Rolling into the next. Holocult experience here. It is from our friend Rob, and it's titled Gargoyles in the Window.
Hell yes.
These are some fucking heaters tonight, bud. Let this be a lesson. Keep sending these in, because we get them. I just got to find them and read them. We need to know how many holocult listeners
have been influenced by the phenomena to chase the phenomena? And how many of you have seen Faceless Death Eaters? And how many of you seen Gargoyles?
It's true. Maybe this is the move once in a while. We just compile a bunch of listener experiences, hammer them out. That way, it also gives us a break from writing for a while. Get a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the move. Because I am having fun with it.
Yeah, there's a lot of weirdos out there.
There is a lot of weirdos. And we love hearing all their fucking weird shit.
Okay. Gargoyles in the Windows from Rob. I've had several encounters over my life, but I can't say that it's a daily occurrence or even yearly, but they have been somewhat intense. So I'll start with my first one I can recollect, and I'll start there. I lived in an old farmhouse in Pennsylvania. At around the age of 3 to about 5, I was a crybaby when I was little and often put into bed crying. Because I didn't want to sleep, so nothing unusual there. One of these nights, I remember crying in my crib. Across from my crib was a window. It was on the second floor, and the kitchen below was below me and extended past my window, so there was a roof there. That night, I was crying. Two figures appeared in front of my window. The best way to describe them is that they were a mix of some kind of simian gargoyle-like creatures. They were not big, or as far as I can tell. They were only in the lower pane of the window. I saw them, and I froze. I wasn't scared as much as I was wondering what the hell I was seeing. They tapped on the glass and spoke. They said to each other, "Look at him," and then proceeded to make funny faces at me. They were trying to cheer me up, making raspberries at me, stretching their mouths with their fingers, and making funny hushed noises. I stopped crying, and then they left. That was the first and last time that I saw them, and I remember thinking, "Who are those guys?" The only other thing that happened there was to my older brother. We had a main wooden staircase in the front with no carpet, and in socks or vinyl-footed onesie pajamas were quite slippery. My brother was going down the stairs and he fell forward. As he was falling, he felt a hand grab his shoulder and pull him back up the stairs. He just stood there dazed, not sure what to make of it. I think he was still processing falling down the stairs, but was standing there trying to figure it out. Weird again, but not bad. That's all for that house. While this house had something going on, I didn't feel that it was malevolent or bad. Actually, more helpful, I guess. Hope you enjoyed my first submission of the things that happened to me over the years. Scary, not really. Paranormal, for sure. Well, Rob, again, thank you for submitting your encounter. Gargoyles making faces in the window. That's... I've just had a mental picture of it going on. All I can think of is like the animated Gargoyle series.
Yes.
And then them being like tiny and like trying to cheer you up, like, which is wholesome. Wholesome Hollow Sky 2026. Also, it's the Fae.
That's 100% what I was going to say. I'm like, dude, this is Fae right out of this. Is without question, Fae. It's the fucking without Fae. Question.
Yep. Just the weird, silly energy and stuff. Yeah. I feel like is very, very Fae forward.
100%. Which is awesome. Yeah. Awesome that they were awesome.
Yeah. Unless they were trying to lure him to the window so they could replace him with a changeling.
You do have a point there.
You gotta throw it out there. But it is. Dude, I don't know. It's weird.
I love it.
It's weird that they were only interested in getting him to stop crying.
Yeah, that is weird.
Because they just bounced as soon as that was done.
I love it, though.
Yeah,
I know that not all Fae are bad. Some of them are good.
Yeah, I need to know. I need more. Rob, if you're still listening, I need more information on what they look like.
Yeah.
I need details. All we've got is gargoyle-like, simian gargoyle-like, not very big. I need more details. That was the first thing I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're a little kid, like, you're going to associate things with you with things that you have seen. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was into gargoyles. I don't fucking know. But it definitely gives me Fae, gnomey energy.
Yep.
Because, I mean, gnomes are little jackasses anyway. Sure. So I could totally see them in the window making faces.
Sure.
Blowing raspberries at him. That shit cracked me up.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how to necessarily attribute the your brother being caught via the fall, but could also be very fey-ish. You know, they can manipulate and shapeshift and do all kinds of stuff. So it very well could be in the same contextual ballpark there.
It's one of my ever-growing favorite topics.
The fey?
Yeah, I'm getting more and more interested in it.
Dude, I got some books in my Amazon cart. There's a dude who has done meticulous recording of fey encounters.
He's got, that's awesome.
He's got two books out. And once if I get them, I'll shout them out on the old podcast here. But that's, yeah. I feel like they're a bigger part of the phenomena than people let on.
I absolutely agree. Wouldn't have said that in the very beginning, but I absolutely agree now.
I think they're a heavy hitter.
Yeah.
And I think they often get...
they got old world energy.
Yeah, and they're often lumped in with other parts of the phenomena that I feel like are more easily digestible, like poltergeist activity, like ghost activity, which
yeah.
I know that's saying that's weird saying that that's easily digestible part of the phenomena, but I think somebody saying my house is haunted is a lot more palatable to the general population than someone saying my house is infested with fairies.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
100%.
So,
people would look at you like you're fucking insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's, go back to Neverland, goon.
Yeah. There's gnomes that are stealing forks from my house.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, no, they're not. You need to get more rest.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do hallucinogenic drugs.
Yeah.
Don't do recreational drugs. But that's, I just got it in my mind's eye of them like, hanging out there, peeking through the window.
Yeah.
It's creepy. Be it gargoyles, be it gnomes, be it fairies, whatever. If I go out to my kitchen and they're making faces at me through the window, I don't know.
Middle finger.
Yep. But that's what the gnome did. And that, what episode was that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That gnome was a dick.
Yeah.
He was middle fingering everybody.
Yep. That was a good one. Tearing
up barbecue grills and shit.
See, gnomes are fun.
They're dicks.
They're fun storytellers. Like, the stories that come from them are very entertaining, though.
Yeah, they're fun if you don't have to deal with them.
Yeah.
If you're not on the receiving end of the gnomishness.
Yeah.
They're a good time.
This is valid.
But I think I'm going to cap it there. We're right about time. Yeah, this was a good time. I don't read these. I'll go over them just to make sure like they're readable, but I don't read it front to back. So they're new to me the same way they are to Kyle. Keep submitting these, Holocult. Keep writing them in. Use your voice note app. Keep sending them in and we'll do more. I know in theory, we were going to do a listener experience episode on Thursdays, but like time is crunched for us a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think this is the move. Just do a mashup. Like I said, it gives us a break from writing for a little bit.
Yeah.
Nice. And it just makes, you know, it could make for an easy month for us.
Yeah. But keep sending them in. These are great.
Every one of these were awesome.
Rippers.
They were good.
Got some weirdos out there.
Seeing
some weird stuff. You're gonna have to keep them coming our way. Holocult.
Agreed.
Will it take me 5 years to get to them?
Maybe
it will. Maybe it won't. That's just how the cookie crumbles, okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna wrap her up there. You know the drill. Check us out wherever you can check us out. It's 2026. We're manifesting good energy. We're manifesting growing the cult. Manifesting positive energy. And let's kick this year off right. So until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and here is to a positive and prosperous 2026.